Blog Talk Radio.
I'm the reason, everybody tried up just getting I'm exhausted, barely breathing, holding on to.
All right, A to Z Sports Live is back, and we're here to give you a Super Bowl recap. A little late to the party, but, you know, better late than never, I suppose. Right, Umar?
That's absolutely correct, Adam. I think it was one of the best Super Bowls that people have ever seen. So I think, you know, a lot of people are interested. They want to know what went on in that game. You know, big plays, big calls made, and what's the reaction from the fans and the media?
All that and more coming up on A to Z Sports Live. I'm Adam Barazzetti, joined by Umar Khan. We're going to try to squeeze in a few callers today, but we'll see how much time we have. Just be patient on the line if you do call in. All right, so Umar, I don't even remember what happened in the game since it was so long ago. Can you give us your yearly recap, I guess?
Yeah, so Super Bowl featured two of the better teams in the league, Seattle Seahawks and the New England Patriots. And so it was a great game. I mean, it was real. I think it was a seesaw battle. Came right down to the wire, and again, fourth quarter, big play. Marshawn Lynch gets down to the 1 yard line. You're talking about one of the best running backs in the league, and Pete Carroll decides to throw the ball with 20 seconds left, and it goes right into the hands of the rookie Malcolm Butler. Interception to end the game, give the Patriots, who got a touchdown just before that, to Julian Edelman, who Adam feels very strongly about, and the Patriots getting their fifth championship under the Belichick-Brady era. Maybe the fourth, actually. I think it was the fourth.
Was it really their fifth? I think it was their fourth.
I think it was the fourth, maybe. Under the Brady-Belichick era, in one of probably the greatest Super Bowls I have ever seen.
No,
Giants-Patriots. Out of it. That was probably, in terms of, yeah, it's probably the best Super Bowl I've ever seen, but it's probably the second best Super Bowl, maybe the third behind the second Giants Patriots. No, you know what?
All right.
It's ahead of the second Giants Patriots. You know what? I'm getting a lot of text messages, emails to A to Z Sports. They're asking us, what do you think about the call? Do you think there's any rationale behind not giving it to Marshawn Lynch?
Well, Umar, there are a lot of conspiracy theories going on. Marshawn Lynch, as a lot of people know, was on the last year of his contract. There was talk this season of whether he would return to the Seahawks next year or whether they kind of wanted to hand the reins over to Christine Michael and maybe sign another running back to lead the running attack for that potent Seahawks rushing offense. So one theory was they didn't want Marshawn to be the hero. They'd rather want Russell Wilson, who really is the cornerstone of the Seahawks franchise, at least on offense. They want him to be the hero. But I just can't imagine that any of this thinking goes in during the game with 30 seconds left in the Super Bowl. You just got to be thinking about scoring there. I just think it was an error, obviously, on the coaching decision, on the coach's part to pass, you know, obviously, the slant in the middle of the field. Even if it's a play they run thousands of times per year and they're successful 90% of it, there's still that small chance that an interception can happen there. And you just can't do that there. You got to run it in with Marshawn Lynch. You got to play. There was no way Marshawn Lynch was not going to gain 1 yard there. Even if he gets stopped as soon as he touches the ball, he's so strong. He'll get to be the hero. That one carry would have solved it. So obviously Pete Carroll and the offensive coordinators at fault there. But I don't really buy these conspiracy theories that are going on.
I don't buy it either, Adam. I don't buy it. I think it's a horse load of baloney, pardon my French. But I don't think that they were even thinking of that. But the play call was so unbelievable. You don't even do that in I wouldn't even do that in Madden when it's a Super Bowl and you're 1 yard away.
Yeah, no way.
And you have a running back. There is no way you would pass the ball at that situation. It is extremely risky in that situation. I know they've had success with it in the past, but this is a Super Bowl. You're 1 yard away. You got a great running back. Once they completed that miraculous play, I think about two plays before that where they threw the ball down the field. It was deflected and kicked and juggled, and it was somehow caught.
Yeah.
I thought the Seahawks had that game locked up.
It was an unbelievable play. I thought Seahawks had that locked up. It was their game to lose, and like you said, they lost it. Let me play devil's advocate, though, Adam, because this is what I do. I always play devil's advocate. That's how good radio is made. Now, look, the Seahawks made mistakes on that last drive before that play call, and that was because there were two times where the play clock ran down and they burned their timeouts. That most likely influenced their decision to throw the ball in that situation because they had no timeouts remaining. Oh, they had one timeout remaining, and they didn't have more than that. Secondly, you're going to have to throw the ball eventually on either second, third, or fourth. You're going to have to throw the ball eventually in that situation. So they chose that situation to throw it just because they had the goal line defense.
I don't know if that's true. I really don't know if that's true. If you do a hurry up offense, you'd be able to get two quick rushes and call a timeout, and then you have fourth down there. There was 20-something seconds left?
You only had 25. So you have 25 seconds left, and you're on second down. How does this
You can do two rushes in probably 20 seconds very easily, and then you call timeout.
But then
you could easily run three plays in 25 seconds with one timeout.
There was 25 seconds left, and you do a rush, and you get stuck. How much time is left by the time you snap the ball the next time?
Probably 8 to 10 seconds.
And then you snap it.
And then you have a timeout.
That's really kind of get close, though. You might be taking away a down in that situation if it's the situation it is. I think they would have had to pass it at some point. And they chose the play to pass it on. It just did not work out. And you just got to give it to Marshawn Lynch. He just gained like 9 yards to play before. They're like, I think more than 10 yards to play before that getting stopped at the 1 yard line. I thought he was in at that point, actually. So that was pretty unbelievable, that whole play. Now, Adam, I just got a whole bunch more texts and emails regarding the play right afterwards that no one's talking about. This is almost an A to Z exclusive because no one is mentioning this. But after the interception, the Patriots had the ball. They had the ball at literally the goal line. They had it inside the 1 yard line in which Brady, it wasn't going to be a kneel. You can't kneel at that point because you would have been hit for a safety. So you actually have to do a positive play. They probably would have done a QB sneak. But what happened was Seattle jumped off sides. It was an encroachment. And that gave the Patriots 5 yards, and that ultimately ended the game. How come people aren't talking about this, Adam? That was a giant play.
Because it's a non-issue, it really is. Brady's not going to go backwards there. It's very, very hard to go backwards on a quarterback sneak. It's pretty much impossible because, again, it's a spot of the ball. Quarterback's going to be moving forward. If anything, he might lose an inch or two. There's no way he loses more than that.
Let's say he even loses a few inches and it's right at the goal line, then Seattle can use another timeout. They have that one timeout rating, and they could go for another goal line type stuff to try to get something going on there. That encroachment completely eliminated the game, and I would have loved to see what Seattle could have done.
Yeah, well, they had to try and time it correctly. Otherwise, it would have been a 1 yard gain, or no yard gain. They needed to do something, and I just realized I made this episode 15 minutes instead of a half hour. So we'll go in podcast mode, so all of our live listeners tune in after the 15-minute mark to see what in the world of sports. I don't think any other radio shows really across the country are discussing the Super Bowl.
I don't really know why.
It is the biggest sporting event in the United States every year. Am I wrong?
We're grabbing the market by the throat right now, Barry Zion. This is an opportunity that we're striking on. Not a lot of people are taking this chance, but we are. We're taking those chances because that's how we do radio. We're unfiltered, uncut, uncensored. Super Bowl recap 4 weeks later.
Yep. So Patriots, obviously, you know, Tom Brady's going to go down as one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Bill Belichick going to be one of the best coaches of all time. What is Tom Brady's? Let's separate them. What is the legacy Tom Brady is going to be leaving behind once he retires?
He's the best quarterback of all time. I don't think it's really debatable. I mean, people could probably bring up any
over Montana.
Without not even a shadow of a doubt, there is no quarterback better in the history of the NFL than Tom Brady, whether you're talking about accomplishments or you're going to even bring up statistics mixed in with the accomplishments. There is not a single quarterback that's better. The one who could challenge him statistically would probably be Peyton Manning, but he does not have nearly the accomplishments that Brady has. I think it's hands down, legacy sealed. But you know what? The only people who may argue against that would argue against that because of the New York Giants, which makes me even like Brady more because the Giants are the reason he's not unanimously the greatest quarterback of all time to I guess, everyone, I guess. But he is without – I don't know about you, Adam, but I don't know if you're saying – I'm going to say he's the best quarterback of all time. What do you think about Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, there's no debate anymore between him and Peyton Manning. That's gone. That's out the window. Peyton Manning, we all know, is nowhere near the caliber Brady is come playoff time or even in less than adequate weather. I think it really comes down to Joe Montana and Tom Brady. Montana, obviously – the five-time Super Bowl winner, is that right? I think it was five.
I think it's four.
Four. He's tied with Brady. But, yeah, I mean, statistically, obviously, Tom Brady's going to have the edge considering it's a different league now.
It is.
You know, wide receivers allowed to make more moves. Tight ends are more formidable, to say the least. A lot more athletic at the tight end position, which is, you know, a huge, huge plus for the quarterback. I mean, target for each quarterback.
Even though it's a totally different league, though, Joe Montana had literally possibly the greatest offensive player of all time playing on his team, and then wide receiver, easily the greatest wide receiver of all time in Jerry Rice. Whereas Tom Brady, I mean, Gronkowski's great. He's had, you know, Randy Moss for a year or two in the past. Outside of these guys, he hasn't even had Pro Bowl receivers outside of those guys. I mean, you got to give it to Tom Brady in support staff at least.
Jerry Rice was not on the first Super Bowl team. The number one receiver in 1984, sorry, the first Super Bowl win for Joe Montana. The leading receiver that year was 880 yards. Their wide receivers were Freddie Solomon and with 737 yards, and Roger Craig, the fullback, was the third leading receiver with 675 yards. So he didn't really have many weapons in this first Super Bowl. Let's check out his second Super Bowl, because this is actually a pretty interesting topic. I'm pretty intrigued by this. Oh, wait, sorry, that was the second one. The first one, 1981. So that's already the second one. So obviously Jerry Rice was not around in 1981. So he's probably only around for the 88 and the 89 Super Bowls, remember? So John Montana really won with not many weapons those first two Super Bowls. You got to give him his credit.
He did win a couple, but I mean, you can't compare the staff that he's had with the staff Brady's had.
I mean, all right, let's check out the '88 team. You know, we do our history here. '80s sports.
I mean, and also while we're looking up the teams, I mean, you got to also take into consideration Tom Brady didn't win any championships with Randy Moss. So it's not like Randy Moss really helped that much. He won the championship.
Yeah, but he had his career stats with Randy Moss, that's for sure.
Well, that is true. He did have a couple of career years with him, but even if you take away those career years, he only played with Randy Moss for a couple of seasons here. It's not like he had 7 years.
Jerry Rice was good in 88. I will give you that.
Yeah.
I think it's Montana and Brady. I think at the end of the day, I think it's Montana and Brady in the discussion. I guess you have to give the edge to Brady. He just lost twice in the Super Bowl. Pretty bad losses. I don't know.
I don't like that argument. I don't like the argument of the guy is talented enough to make it to the Super Bowl six times that you're going to penalize that he lost twice in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but if you're one of the best quarterbacks ever and you're on the one of the best teams ever, which was the 2008 Patriots when they were on the undefeated team. You can't lose that game. I don't care who you're going up against. You cannot lose that game, and he did. It was one of the best Super Bowls of all time, one of the biggest upsets of all time. If you're truly one of the best quarterbacks ever, you have to win that game. I'm sorry. At the same time, I kind of see the other side. I understand his stats are pretty incredible, much better than Joe Montana, but Joe Montana was a winner. 4-0 in the Super Bowl. Oh, wait, no, sorry. No, he wasn't. was he 4-1?
No, I think he was 4-0. Yeah, he was 4-0.
Yeah, he was 4-0. 4-0 in the Super Bowl. So every single big game he won.
No, whoa. See, this is that's not true. Because, look.
I'm saying every Super Bowl.
Okay, every Super Bowl. So you think it's better to be eliminated in the conference championship or to not make the playoffs than it is to be eliminated in the Super Bowl? No.
Who would you rather have play for your team in the Super Bowl? Joe Montana?
It's so hard to compare
because there's such different eras. It's totally different
true.
Now.
You could say that. I mean, you know, it's an argument that'll go forward ages. But let me tell you something, though. There's two Super Bowls that Brady lost. He did not get embarrassed. He did not get crushed. He faced a tough team, and it came down to the fourth quarter. Came down to miracle plays both times, the one to Manningham, the one to Tyree. Those were really nail-biter victories. It was not a terrible loss, but it was just a loss. He could have easily, right now, literally, if it wasn't for a single play in each game, he could have been 6-0 right now in the Super Bowl, having 6 championships by a play in each year. That's incredible. You got to give it Brady, man. And how about Belichick now? Let's move to shift gears. Where does Belichick stand? I think it's pretty unquestionable that Belichick's probably the best coach. I think he's probably the best coach in sports.
How can you say that? He cheats. Spygate.
That is true. He does cheat.
I mean, Spygate was an actual thing. He actually recorded sidelines. Like, what is that? You can't go down.
All right, look. If you take away the cheating, the guy's the greatest coach you can ever find.
All right, fine. Yes. Let me think about that one.
Who else
is in discussion?
I mean, people can argue that, especially in New York, they're high on Parcells. Certainly in football, I don't think there's anyone, literally no one who can compare in terms of coaching to Bill Belichick. There's not even anyone in the league as him. If you want, you could probably bring up people from other sports who may challenge him for greatest sports coach of all time, but there's no one close in the NFL. He was already the best before this championship. He just solidified it even more. He has the most championships of any coach, not even including the ones where he wasn't even the main head coach on the team. So
what about
Vince Lombardi? Give it Vince Lombardi. I think he's only won
Bill Walsh.
Are you talking about Bill Walsh now for NBA?
The 49ers.
Oh, what did he win? Three championships?
No, then he won the 4.
Okay.
Wait, let me check that before I say it.
Yo, we need a little bit of a stat boy situation going on here to check our statistics.
Yeah, well, we need anyone interested in an internship, send us your resume.
Do we have a caller? We might have a caller.
Do we?
No, we must have lost them.
No, we're on recording right now. No one can call up.
All right.
Actually, I don't know. Maybe someone can call up.
Yeah, possibly. That is true.
Bill Walsh, 102-63 overall record, 10-4 in the playoffs, three-time Super Bowl champion.
Maybe Popovich or Jackson for all-time sports. I like those two.
All right, well, that's a discussion for another day. We can't get into that right now.
That is true. We can't.
What's going on? All right, so that was our Super Bowl recap. We'll try to be a little bit more timely next year. Although I kind of like the month after. You really get to digest what happened, you know?
I was going to say that. You don't, you're not a prisoner of the moment. You get to actually react appropriately.
Yeah. So, as my computer freezes here, let's switch gears to basketball. NBA has been pretty damn interesting, pretty cool this year. I'm not going to lie. A lot of entertaining games. Last night, Houston-Cleveland game, supposedly it was really good. I didn't watch it, but I heard it was really good. So that's good. That's a good sign. LeBron obviously with the selfie in the mirror. Which wasn't even a selfie. Someone was taking a picture of him taking a selfie. If that makes any sense, it made no sense. And his hashtags and Instagram and He didn't look like he knew how to speak English, which was kind of concerning considering he was on an honor roll at one point. but that was like, that's just classic, you know, that's classic LeBron. Ever since he kind of left Miami, he's been doing this a little bit more. I think that's because Dwayne Wade and Pat Riley aren't there to kind of, you know, mentor him a little bit. And now he's just really off the leash. He's going crazy. His ego is out of control. He's really turning into A-Rod. I think they're pretty comparable.
Whoa,
in that they strive to be liked. Their self-esteem is pretty low, and they don't have much self-confidence, and they just want to be liked. They'll do anything it takes to be liked by everyone, and it's kind of sad. It really is, and I think that's what's going on in LeBron's mind. He's not gonna win the championship this year. Even if they get to the championship game, they're not gonna beat whoever's in the West. I just don't have any confidence in him. I don't think his teammates like him. I don't think his coach likes him. I'm starting to think the Cleveland fans are gonna turn on him at some point and be like, LeBron, what the hell are you doing? Grow up. Stop being an egomaniac and just play hard, dirty basketball. And I don't think he's ever gonna do that. So this kind of turned into a little bit of a LeBron rant, but what do you think about my LeBron A-Rod comparison, Umer?
You know what, Adam? I think it was fair at some point when LeBron wasn't able to win championships, when he was struggling in big games. But winning a couple of championships, being huge
in the NBA.
I'm not talking
about his court, though. I'm kind of talking about his off-court stuff.
I think, you know what, I think they marry each other. They're usually parallel with one another in terms of handling pressure off the court and handling pressure on the court. I don't think LeBron is that bad this season, as you're saying. I mean, he's definitely not as controlled as he was in the last couple of years with the Miami Heat, because I think he has to do a lot more with Cleveland. He has to literally build a franchise up. He is the man. He is the man in Cleveland 100%. There is no Dwayne Wade. They have Kevin Love and Kyrie, but it is all LeBron. And I think all that pressure, you know, maybe you'll make a bad decision here and there. You look at the game. The game was great. LeBron was 3 of 11 or 3 of 12 from the free throw line, including they were down by 1 point with 1 second left. He's at the free throw line for 2 free throws, missed both of them. He could have won the game right there. He missed both of them. I mean, it's a shocker. Listen, I'll say this, though. I think Cleveland will make the NBA Finals. I think LeBron has too much experience in him, even though Kyrie and Kevin Love have none. I think LeBron has too much experience in him. And the East, even though the East has those dangerous Hawks team, the Raptors are doing decently, Chicago's starting to rebound, I think Cleveland's going to end up making it in the big game. And hopefully they end up facing the Spurs, which I would like to do, but it doesn't look that way, because right now the Western Division is being just unbelievable with Golden State and Memphis. And God, NBA is so great to watch right now. I don't even know what team.
Let's do our finals preview, because who knows when we're going to be on next. I'm going to go a little – I might kind of shock some people with my picks here.
No.
Are you ready for this?
Who the East? Who the West first?
The West?
Yeah.
I'm going Memphis in the West.
Okay. Yeah, I like that pick. Defense wins championships. Memphis is a pretty good defense. They're a good team. They could score. Conley, Gasol. All right.
Exactly. Yeah, and then in the East, I'm going with the Hawks. I think the people are underrating the Hawks.
Oh, my God.
People are saying that all five of them on the court are good players. Just because they don't have a Hall of Fame player right now, first of all, Jeff Teague, if he continues this streak, he might end up being a Hall of Fame type player. Good players. Like, Al Horford is one of the best. I'd say he's one of the, top eight centers in the league. Paul Millsap, probably a top 8, top 10 power forward. DeMar Carroll's a serviceable small forward, but he's pretty good defensively and can make a 3-pointer. And then you got Kyle Korver, the sharp shooter. You can't leave him open, or otherwise he'll make a 3 even if someone's guarding him. And then Jeff Teague, who I think is one of the top point guards in the league, and solid bench. And a good coach.
I hate to break it to you, but unless you have a superstar player. Listen, Jeff Teague is great. Jeff Teague, I mean,
do you like my Memphis pick? Who's their superstar? Marcus Gasol.
I like the Grizzlies pick because I would have not picked the Grizzlies, but I respect the Grizzlies because I think Marcus Gasol is good enough, and so is Zach Randolph. Those two guys, Mike Conley. I think they have enough good guys because If you look at complete superstars, there's only three, really, four in the entire Western Conference. If you count Durant and Westbrook as one each on the same team, except they're struggling with health issues and both of them can't be on the court at the same time. Steph Curry, I think, is another one with the Warriors. James Harden for the Rockets. And on the Pelicans, obviously. But that's literally the only people
there.
Why
are you saying a superstar needs to win? Who won the championship last year?
Tim Duncan.
He's not a super... he's a superstar Hall of Famer, one of the best players ever, but he's not a superstar caliber player right now.
You know what? That's a fair point. He's not a superstar caliber player right now. I think the one exception to this usually throughout the years has been the Greg Popovich run teams, because he is an incredible coach, which is able to incorporate everyone. I really don't have the respect for
right.
the Atlanta
Hawks.
Right, and
that's what Jeff Teague does as a distributor on an offense.
Adam, the Hawks, they struggled to even make the playoffs for the last 5 years. You have them going all the way to the finals out of nowhere. I don't think that they have what it takes. I think they still have some pieces. They have a good, solid overall team. But they need a superstar type guy if they want to make that NBA Finals push. You
They're
cannot
27 and four. I mean, people are. Do you understand? 47-12 overall, 27-4 at home. They're 9.5 games above second place, Toronto. I don't know why people are kind of giving crap to Atlanta. They have a good team, and they have a good system, and they have good talent on that roster. Highest point differential in the East by far. I mean, they're clearly going to be the number one seed.
Cleveland
might not even beat Washington in the first round at this rate, although Washington's playing pretty crappy. Atlanta will get by Brooklyn easily if that's the eighth seed, or Indiana, it doesn't matter. They should have an easy route to the Eastern Conference Championship. And then, I mean, I don't know why you don't like Atlanta. Just because they don't have a superstar? Is that your reasoning?
I don't like Atlanta because they don't have a superstar. And if you're talking about a good team that can make, maybe win a couple of rounds in the playoffs, sure. If you're talking about a team that's going to end up making it to the finals, I don't think so. And this is let me tell you, it's going to be. I know you're going to bury Cleveland because Cleveland hasn't, quote unquote, been playing so well. Cleveland started the season atrociously because they had to get with one another. They at one point this is. And literally at one point, they had lost, I think it was something like 13, or they lost 15 out of 18 or something. They were terrible at some point. But literally since, I'll say, the new year, January 15th or so, I think since January 15th, they've lost three games. There's probably been about 20, 25 games, they've lost about three games. They're the team, with LeBron, Kyrie, with Kevin Love. They're the ones who's picking up steam. Sure, they're fourth in the conference standings. But when they make the playoffs, they have LeBron James, who's won the two of the last three championships. They're going to be in the finals. And I have them. I really want it to be against the Spurs. I think it's between either the Spurs or the Warriors, because the Spurs pace themselves. They're in the seventh spot right now. But they pace themselves so well that I really think the Spurs can make it. But I'll take the safe bet with the Golden State Warriors under Steve Kerr, under the best defense in the league, under the superstar Stephen Curry. You can't go wrong. It's got to be Warriors-Cleveland. That's going to be a great, great finals. I can't wait for that. But that's my guess. Do you have any knock on that?
I disagree. I mean, I know Cleveland's been playing well. They're probably going to end up they could easily end up as number two seed in the conference. But I just genuinely don't believe Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James are all going to get along and win a bunch of playoff games this year. I think they're going to get frustrated. I think Kevin Love will have a bad game every now and then. LeBron will start getting pissy. He'll be in a mood. He'll be egotistical about everything that's going. He's just, I can't stand LeBron at this point. I have a feeling everyone's kind of catching on, and I think they're going to implode in the playoffs at some point. It might be in the Eastern Conference Finals. But I really do not believe they're going to get to the championship game this series this year, the NBA Finals. So that's my pick. I like Atlanta and Memphis. Two teams that I think kind of mirror each other in that Jeff Teague and Mike Conley are both good overall point guards who like getting everyone involved, and they both have solid big men and they both play some good defense. So those are my two picks.
Who are yours?
Cleveland and who else? Golden State.
Cleveland and Golden State. I really want to say the Spurs, though, but Cleveland and Golden State. And I think